Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Mavs Fanatics on Almighty Baller Radio.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead us in our new favorite song.
Thank you, Mavs fans!
Welcome to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast.
Yo, I'm back.
He's back.
Hey.
He's back. We're back. Back and ready. We're ready to go.
Yo, I'm pumped.
We have some actual Mavericks news. No more speculation. It is.
Yes, you know, it's... by the way, hold on. Congrats. You graduated college.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's big things. Mavs Fanatics are proud of you.
We're both on the other side now.
Yeah, right? You're welcome to the wonderful world of adults.
Oh, adulting has been hitting me in droves.
Isn't it great? Dot, dot, dot.
So you can bring the music down. One thing I want to say before we start is that man, we gotta give a shout out to our man not Eddie Sefko. We were just talking to our man Dwayne Price from the Fort Worth Star Telegram. He got laid off last week, and he was a big influence on a lot of us in the business. And so I'm sure he'll land on his feet and land somewhere good. But it's gonna be sad. Hope maybe not seeing Dwayne walking around,
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Dwayne, he's a veteran in Dallas. He's been around a long time. I'm confident that he will, like you said, get back on his feet.
Yeah, he'll be back. But we just wanted to send our condolences and our gratitude. Be like, hey, thanks, man. Thanks for everything you do.
You're a good dude.
You did, and you helped a lot of us through. So thank you so much for that. But
what up?
The Dallas Mavericks. Drum roll, please.
Dun, dun, oh wait.
That was an excellent drum.
Yeah, right?
Are picking ninth in the NBA lottery.
Yay!
Not amazing. It was an 81% chance that it would end up at nine.
Hey, I don't care. Listen, Kobe Bryant was picked 13.
Yeah?
Wait a minute. Dirk Nowitzki was picked by the Milwaukee Bucks, eighth?
No, nine.
Nine!
It was exactly nine.
See?
He was picked ninth. And this is what I've been trying to tell you all year, is that you can get really good players later in drafts like this.
Very true. The Greek Freak was not a top five pick.
The Greek Freak was 13. You have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. They were both like 9, 10, 11.
When Josh Howard was once good, he wasn't even top 20.
Shout out to Josh Howard. Yeah, he wasn't there. I mean, you have Draymond Green in the second round.
Right.
You have Jokic going in the second round. You have
Manu Ginobili.
Ginobili was...
You have good players. Future Hall of Famer, Manu Ginobili.
I agree. I'm glad that you think that, because for some reason I thought that you would think that.
No, absolutely. He's definitely an all-time great.
Because some people are like, oh, look at his stats. Look at his counting stats. And I'm like,
he's one of the best international players of all time.
Yeah, and he's part of the only team that won a gold medal other than the United States over the past.
Very true. You're very true. 2004. Years. Good job, Argentina.
So the controversy over the ninth pick. And some people were very upset about this ninth pick. You are not, surprisingly. You're okay with the ninth pick. But there's a lot of people that were upset with this ninth pick because... The Mavericks were one loss away from being tied in the draft lottery, the inverse standings, with the Sacramento Kings. Now, if you know anything about the draft lottery, if you watched it last night, did you watch it?
I saw it later because I wasn't home.
Okay, so you
live.
Didn't watch it live.
Yeah.
I have to watch it live. I was at work last night. We were running a DBU baseball game, and I had it on a second screen over there. Like, I had to watch that live because there's just so much drama and it's so stupid. The event is so dumb. I can't believe that it's televised and I can't believe that I love it this much, but I do. I just love watching Mark Tatum walk up there, opening the envelopes, hearing the people in the crowd's reaction, just knowing the implications. And so if you know what happened last night, you get Miami at 14,
ooh.
Denver at 13,
ooh.
Detroit at 12,
ah.
Charlotte at 11.
Whoa.
New Orleans is pick that went to Sacramento at 10.
Big easy.
Then you have Dallas at 9. That's all chalked. That's all pretty much the way that it should have gone. And then you hit 8, and it was your...
dun, 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 dun. Where was, I was last week, was, the New York Knicks.
It was Taman's New York Knicks, which for some people would be like, oh, that's fine. But that means that Sacramento moved up. Now, that's Sacramento's true. Pick had implications on it because Philadelphia could swap picks with them. They had the right to swap picks with them, which
you saw,
I believe.
You saw your
which
boy.
I believe,
you saw your boy sitting up there yesterday.
Oh, it was great. You should see my Twitter background right now. It's that.
Oh Lord, I'm gonna look now.
They got that pick swap, I believe, because of the Stauskas trade, which is
Wow.
Pretty amazing. So we knew that. Whoa. So at that point, we knew Sacramento moved up. Then they said Minnesota at 7, Orlando at. You just saw my picture, yes. Didn't you?
That's great.
Joel Embiid giving a side eye to Magic Johnson when he's super excited that he knew he made it to the other side of the commercial break.
That is great. That's awesome.
So Minnesota at 7, Orlando at 6, and then all of a sudden it was Sacramento's pick from Philadelphia. And so that means that we knew at that point in the draft lottery that they had swapped picks.
Right.
So that means that Philadelphia was going to be in the top 3 no matter what. Then all of a sudden, Phoenix at 4. Phoenix fans, they are not having a great day. Shout out to our man Espo at Almighty Baller. He is not having a good day
today. He's somewhere in the desert.
They are in a weird spot. They have a lot of young pieces. They have a lot of good stuff.
Right.
They really wanted one of those 2-point guards, and they're not walking away with one of them.
Hey, according to Bleacher Report, for the guy they might get is the guy I want. So
is De'Aaron Fox?
Yes.
Fox and Booker would be pretty good next to each other.
It's kind of scary.
I'm good with that.
That's a scary backcourt.
They also, I could see them going with one of the two wings, too, either Jackson or Tatum,
because
they don't really have like a wing guy. I mean, they have Booker, but they don't have another wing-type guy that can handle the ball and make stuff happen. So then we're at the commercial break, which is, I always say, if you make it to top 3, you're at the other side of the commercial break. So it was Philadelphia, the Lakers, and Boston. And then it went chalk after that. It went Philadelphia, then the Lakers, then Boston. And the Lakers, too. The Lakers were, that number 4 pick, like, people were holding their breaths. I follow a ton of Lakers writers, a ton of Lakers
fans. You're an L.A. guy.
That was my team that I loved growing up.
Right.
And they saw that fourth slot come up, and it was the Phoenix Suns, and they were just over the moon because that means they keep their pick. They also keep their pick in 2019. 2018 pick next year is gone, so they have no reason to tank next year. And so they keep that pick, and then here we are now. Here we are now with this. And so the reason why people are upset about the Mavericks pick, and we just went through the whole lottery,
right,
is that Sacramento pick that jumped from number 8 all the way up to number 3, the Mavericks could have had if they had lost the final game against Memphis. Shout out to the Seeing Stars podcast. Shout out to my guys over there.
Tell them I said hello.
I will tell them that you said hello. But Nathan Kane over there messaged all of us after they won that game and said, "We just lost an All-Star." Because he was convinced that every single all top 9 players were all, like, there's 8 All-Stars in this draft, which I don't think there are. But he was so mad. He was like, "We just lost an All-Star because we won that final game." And so now people are still upset about that final game, because if they had lost that game, they'd be tied with Sacramento in the standings. They win, you know, they'd have to win the coin flip, which we made fun of the Knicks for not,
right,
for not winning. They would have had to to win that. Then they could have potentially moved up all the way to 3.
The thing is, I don't know why they're mad, because as we saw in that game,
history.
Yeah, and as we were discussing, you know, during our pre-show warm up, I guess
we didn't really warm up that much, because neither of us can talk right.
Right. Yeah. Well, anyway, the Mavericks did everything to lose that game, but they just won.
Mark Cuban literally came out today and said, he said on the Dan Patrick show, shout out to Dan Patrick, "Once we were eliminated from the playoffs, we did everything possible to lose games. Once a guy walks on the court, they're going to play their heart out, particularly the young guys, because they have something to prove."
Right.
Which is what he said. But they did everything possible to lose.
Right. It's not like they started Dirk. It's not like they started Barnes. It's not like they started... in that game?
Especially in that final game.
Yogi, Finney Smith.
If you're upset about that final game, this is how it turned out.
Tony Romo.
We got 36 minutes from Nico Brusino.
Oh, boy.
34 minutes from Powell. We got 30 minutes of Dorian Finney-Smith, 28 minutes of Yogi, and 22 minutes of Nerlens Noel.
The funny thing
those
is,
those are your starters.
And Nick,
that's how they started out.
Nick, the funny thing is, and you and I can say this because we cover this team.
24 minutes from DeAndre Liggins. What else do you want this team to do to lose? They literally had nothing else.
Here's the funny thing.
They got Tony Romo out there.
The funny thing is that you and I can name these guys because, you know, we follow the team. Yeah. But all of these people who are upset can't even probably, name the starting lineup.
They probably don't even know who DeAndre Liggins is.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, who? What number? I thought Romo played on the team.
Yeah, Jared Utoff got 19 minutes in that game, and Devin Harris got 20 minutes, but he was pretty good. He had 15 points and 8 assists. So if you're upset at that game,
you got to play somebody.
Yeah. You can't just throw out no one.
Yeah.
That to be players on the roster.
Right?
We're just going to bring up, like, this is like the anti-Patino game. Like, if you had to lose, you're like, Keith Hornsby isn't walking through that door. Jamil Warney isn't walking through that door.
Right?
Oh, man.
So I don't know why they're upset. And again, you mentioned it.
Because it was a possibility. That's why people were upset.
Right. But again.
I'm surprised you're not upset.
I'm not at all. I am perfectly okay where the Mavs are picking. I have no problem with it.
Okay.
And
you just sort of like accepted your fate as a Mavs fan.
it is what it is. And let's be honest. And we mentioned it, during our little warm up. We mentioned that
no one else heard.
You don't have to have a top 3, 4, 5 pick to get great players. Now, I know this totally just takes away. It contradicts everything I said about Team Tank all year.
All season.
But
I finally ingrained into you that this can happen.
Like, there have been – Dirk Nowitzki was picked number 9.
Literally number 9.
Kobe Bryant was picked – one of the best – arguably a top 3 player of all time. Kobe Bryant was picked 13th. We mentioned Manu Ginobili, Kawhi Leonard.
Nikola Jokic was second round. Draymond Green was
second round. Exactly. These are guys.
Paul George, Kawhi Leonard were in the tens.
Right. These are guys who were really good players, who are franchise difference makers, who were not picked in the top 5.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the top, you look at some of the top, there's probably as many instances of players in the top 5 that are bad as players not in the top 5 that are really good.
Anthony Bennett.
Wesley
Kwame
Johnson.
Brown.
Hashim Thabeet.
Oh my God, Thabeet. I remember him at UConn. UConn.
Yeah, he was UConn.
Yeah. I remember him at UConn and
he was awesome.
Yes.
He would be really good in today's NBA, I think. Just as that 5 that, ran the floor and blocked shots. But that's what we thought he was gonna be then too. So
by the way, I have to bring this up because technically it's the draft thing, but it's kind of disappointing at the same time. Remember Greg Oden?
Yeah.
If he had stayed healthy, would have been a really good player.
He would have been great. That's who Hashim Thabeet was supposed to be.
Exactly. Now, could you imagine, because remember, during that 07 draft, it was supposed to be either Greg Oden or Kevin Durant.
Right.
Could you imagine, if Oden had stayed healthy or if Portland had picked Durant, they would have had Brandon Roy, Kevin Durant, LaMarcus Aldridge, or Brandon Roy, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Greg Oden. That would have been one heck of a team if they had been able to stay healthy.
They were a heck of a
team.
That
was insane.
Yeah, they were a team. They gave the Lakers a little run at it when they had Brandon Roy.
I loved Brandon Roy. I hate that he got
hurt. Do you see Brandon Roy got shot? He was defending.
I heard
kids.
About that. Yeah,
you're like what else has this guy got to do?
Yeah, he literally cannot stay healthy. No offense,
man. But how admirable of him though.
Saving I can't talk today, but hats off
to you, Brandon Roy.
Yeah, exactly. Hats off to you, Brandon Roy. That's very admirable. We definitely hope you recover from your injury.
Seriously. So we're at 9, and we got 6 weeks to speculate as to, what's going to happen between now and then. And I think this is what we should do. Let's go through who we think everybody's going to pick. Let's keep tabs on it, because let's see how it changes over the next,
Right.
Forever, because
there's going to be so many different mocks between now and June 22nd.
Oh, my gosh. So many mocks. I'm sure Mavs Fanatic writers are working on one right this second as we speak.
Yes, sir.
Also, by the way, I'm glad that did you see what Dirk Nowitzki said about the draft lottery?
Are you talking about his tweet?
Yeah.
Yes.
I am so glad that's not what happened.
Yeah, really. That would have been
disaster. See it, go check it out. He said, with our luck at the draft, our pick is probably going to slip to the second round tonight.
I love how Dirk has a great sense of humor. Who doesn't love Dirk? How can you not love him?
Yeah, it's like that self-deprecating sense of humor that people love.
Yeah.
And it's coming from an athlete that has been to the mountaintop.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go through and let's just say who we think, just gut reaction right now, who we think is gonna pick where, and then you guys can tweet us if we're completely wrong or off base. So number 1, Boston. You think Boston's going with Fultz?
Yes.
That's a done deal.
Yeah, that's yes.
Okay, I agree.
The only way that does not happen, which I do not see this happening, but stranger things have happened, is if they make a trade.
If they make a trade, you're saying you're wanting them to get Butler or George or something?
Yeah, but I don't see that happen. I'm just throwing the scenario out there. I don't think they're going to do that, but that would be
Boston, would you trade it?
I mean, you always leave the option on the table because, I mean, think about how they got the pick because some teams are just dumb. So you obviously always listen to whatever's out there.
You have to cash in on those.
Right. You keep the option on the table. But if I'm Boston, I'm not going to trade it.
No, I'm keeping that because Markelle Fultz is going to – this Markelle Fultz, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, like – There's two sides of this team. You know how we talked about how the Mavericks have this two sides of the team? They have the Dirk and then Darren Williams, and then they have the Harrison Barnes and the Seth Curry side. Like, right. There's two sides of the team. That's even a bigger spectrum, you know, like for the Celtics. They have this young team and this veteran, like, established sort of team that's right. Now in the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's so crazy when you look at the Celtics that Avery Bradley is the only Celtic from their last Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. From the Allen, Garnett,
I forget
Pierce
he was on that
trio. Yeah, he was, yeah. And the funny thing is, I mean, I'm throwing this out there because I did see this last week. The whole Ray Allen beef kind of started with him because he's the one who started starting over Allen.
And then Allen wanted to go to Miami. And did you see when they were doing that thing on Cage Area 21 where they brought out Doc Rivers, and did you see Glenn Big Baby Davis?
Yes face? I oh did yes I saw it. That was that was funny.
Great. All right, so the Lakers, it's Lonzo Ball, right? Like
it is. And here's the thing about Lonzo Ball,
because you're not going with Jackson or Tatum of
no Ingram. It's there unless again some team offers them some an insane trade package. It's going to be Lonzo Ball. And here's the thing: I want to like him, but there's a certain parent.
There's a certain LeVarish nature.
Yeah, there's a certain LeVarish nature that makes me want to hate him.
I don't think we should. I still don't think that we should hold that. I don't think we should hold Lonzo accountable for LeVar.
And I 100% agree with you, and I'm definitely going to try to do that. To me, honestly, it's kind of the LeBron effect, and I'm going to explain. Like, I love LeBron James, but there are times where I want to see him fail just so his diehard fans will shut up. That's kind of how I want with Lonzo. Like, I want to see him succeed, but if he fails, I would love
That's
to
like
see
how
his
people
dad's
love
face.
Seeing like Duke lose or seeing the Yankees lose or the Cowboys lose.
Right. It's like, yeah, you want to see them lose because you hate a certain somebody attached to them. You don't necessarily hate them.
The interesting next pick here is Philly. Philly at three is fascinating to me.
That is.
Because they need guards, but they also need guards that can shoot because they're going with – Brett Brown is sticking with this. Ben Simmons is going to be our point guard. He's going to be our 6'10 point guard that, you know, really brings up the ball, and he can't shoot.
Be interesting.
And so they need a shooter. So Monk, to me, is who they should go with.
You're going with Malik Monk.
I think that's who they should go with. Do I think that that's who they're going to go with eventually? I don't know. What's your gut feeling?
I'm going with Fox or Jackson.
Really?
Yeah. And Fox, because he's so athletic. I know, like you said, they need shooters, but I feel – I mean, you and I both
agree. Jackson's a pretty good shooter.
Yeah, agreed. You and I both agree that if Fox can even develop somewhat of a shot, just like a decent shot, that he's going to be an athletic problem in the NBA.
And so will Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is almost like the same thing, you know? He's definitely bigger and way stronger. But I don't think you can start two liabilities like that. I just don't think that that's smart.
But
Sam Hinkie's not running the organization. Oh, my gosh. Did you see that the owner of the 76ers said, thanks, Sam Hinkie, when they got the third pick? I was like, really?
Shots fired.
Really? You fired him for Jerry Colangelo.
Shots fired.
That was awful.
Yeah.
So we're not in agreement here. So do you want to, I don't know, you want to compromise and go Jackson?
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
All right. That's our gut reaction. Then Phoenix. I like the Fox pick here.
I mean, I like that too because of what would be that backcourt. But
Fox and Booker. Devin and De'Aaron.
No.
I like that.
No.
I also think they're going to get – I think that they're going to see a better Dragan Bender this year.
You think
he's the youngest kid in the draft. Didn't really get a lot of play. He's one of those kids that came out and you're like, this guy's going to be
– How old is he? He's
– He was the youngest.
Yeah,
he was like
– 19, 20?
He had just turned 18 when he came into the draft, so – He was like an Andrew Bynum young.
That's pretty young.
He was one of those
Andrew
like,
Bynum.
He was one of those like a year away from a year away guys.
Yeah.
So we'll go with Fox there. Sacramento. I don't know how Sacramento has two picks. They have 5 and 10, which is kind of interesting.
You think there could be a trade there?
Anything's possible with the Kings. They're the Knicks of the West. anything's possible with them. But I think they
to a different nature,
I think they just
by the
stay
way.
Pat. And we still haven't thrown Tatum out there. So you think they go Tatum?
I think they go Monk.
Right, which, here?
Yeah.
Tatum's dropping. We totally dropped Tatum.
Yeah.
Okay, Orlando.
I have them.
See, I think they would want Monk, but if he's gone,
I have them with Tatum or Isaac.
You know what's kind of interesting? I've listened to so much draft stuff recently,
yeah.
And there's people that say Monk, and there's people that say Monk.
Mm.
Which one do you go with?
Monk, Malik Monk.
Monk, Monk,
yeah. Malik Monk.
Monk,
yeah, Monk. Malik Monk.
Monk.
And the funny thing is that now I'm going to notice it just because I would have never noticed that.
If you say it long Malik enough, Mock. It sounds that you just said it with an A sound.
Malik Mock.
Some people say it with an O sound. Some people say it with a U sound. Monk? Monk.
Malik Mock.
Mock.
Mock. I would have never noticed that had you never bought it up.
Listen to people now talk about Malik.
I will definitely listen in.
So let's put Tatum at Orlando, because if he drops that far, that's ridiculous.
All right.
And then Minnesota, I think they take Isaac. I think that's
yeah. I had a flip there. I had either Isaac or Tatum. I had like a 1-2 flip.
And then you got your Knicks.
First off, dear Lord, we pray today that whoever goes to the Knicks, we just wish them the very best. Amen.
We need to get some guys from the Knicks podcast on.
Let's get Rob Topak. Poor guy.
Not only okay.
So, shout out to Rob Top, by the way.
So the Knicks were tied with Minnesota at 6, and then they lose the tiebreaker, and then they get jumped by Sacramento of all teams. Oh man! So who do we have left? We have Dennis Smith. We have Lauri Markkanen. We have Frank. Zach Collins.
Yeah, I'm going with Dennis Smith.
You think they're going with Dennis?
Yeah.
I think that's a good spot.
I'm kind of iffy because I could see them going Ntilikina too, or Ntilikina, whatever. You know how to pronounce his last name.
Ntilikina?
Yes.
I don't know if you pronounce the T or not.
Yeah.
The first one.
I could see them going that, but I'm feeling the Knicks are dumb, and I really want the Mavs to get it. So I'm going to say Dennis Smith for that reason.
That means... And number 9 for the Dallas Mavericks.
Frank Ntilikina.
Left on the board is Frank Ntilikina, Lauri Markkanen, Zach Collins, Donovan Mitchell, or OG Anunoby.
Who you got?
Have you heard about OG Anunoby?
Yes.
Anunoby?
Yes, I have.
He's like Draymond Green with no offense to me. To me.
Interesting.
if that's what's left, I think you have to go Frank, but I just think you have to. I think he has the most upside of that pick. Lauri Markkanen is this 7-foot-tall shooter that is that.
If Dennis Smith is there, would you take him?
If I had the choice of both Dennis and Frank?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so this is the thing about Dennis Smith. So if we assume that Dennis Smith is gone, that's Draft Express has the Mavericks taking Markkanen here, which we'll talk about that too. But here's the thing. Here's the thing with Dennis Smith going to the Mavericks. Remember when Nerlens Noel first came onto the team and was first traded here, and he was late to a practice.
I do.
Late to one practice.
I do
remember
that.
Everyone freaked out about it.
Everyone was like, oh my
about it on the
God.
Podcast. And
yes.
People were, you know, there's reports and all this stuff, and people were questioning his character and whether he had, you know.
Yes.
Discipline. Dennis Smith is like that times 10. He has had some discipline problems. He hasn't hired an agent yet.
He's going to the Knicks.
Which is interesting.
It's perfect. It is perfect. He's going to the Knicks.
From the things that I've heard about him, he doesn't have the discipline. And a lot of college basketball, like people that are pure college basketball watchers, they just love watching the game for the game. They don't watch like us, like watch for, you know, talent.
Yeah.
They're not talent evaluators. They just like love the game. They avoided NC State because they just didn't want to watch that, and because they just didn't want to watch that train wreck. And
I mean, from everything that you've heard and described, this is a perfect scenario for him to go to the Knicks. It's just a match made in heaven.
But there was talk before the season that he and Fultz were like the number one, number two. That they were like that's how talented he is. He's like that talented. But even on Draft Express, it says that his effort is one of his weaknesses. That he just doesn't put forth enough effort, and that he doesn't, you know, come through. And so that's. Rick Carlisle can definitely kick that kid into shape. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be there.
Well, the thing is, I love Rick, but let's be honest. He's not – he doesn't – I mean, I know he did this year.
This is the first year we've seen him actually, like, embrace
young players. True. But he has had personality clashes in the past with players who don't always have the most humble personality. Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
Lamar Odom. Heck, even, I don't know if you remember this, but when Jason Kidd first got to Dallas, right, him and Carlisle would clash. Thing, yeah. So you have a young guy who might have some personality problems with a hard coach. I don't know if that's going to work.
Right, and I've never met the kid. I don't know if he's like, I don't know if it's just that he doesn't know how to use a watch or if he...
Right,
know,
and, he's, like, and he's young, so he has time to grow, but...
Yeah, but coming in with things like that with for a coach that... Like, Yogi Ferrell made it onto this team, and Dorian Finney-Smith made it on this team because they were, like, really earnest guys that really tried to do things the right way, you know?
Right.
And I just don't know if Dennis Smith's going to be that. I don't know. I haven't been around him. I haven't been able to talk to him. I haven't, you know. I don't know if that's... So that's what I have with that. I'm not sure if that's a good fit. Frank, obviously, he could be like that, but we just have no idea.
Right. He's in a different country. Overseas. Now, I don't... This is unconfirmed. But I heard that Donnie Nelson was overseas this week doing some scouting over there about Nelly Kina. I know that's unconfirmed, but I'm pretty sure I heard that.
Which I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad he's doing that because that's what he should be doing now.
Right. You know? And I heard they were kind of getting maybe like a health report just to kind of see, you know, his health over there. And maybe they were looking at personality and stuff like that, I would assume.
I wonder if they get like an interview with him because I don't know if he was in the combine. Do you think
I don't recall.
I don't think he was at the combine, but yeah. So if that's the case, if the Knicks take Dennis Smith, then I think the Mavericks go Frank.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's probably where he goes, and nine is a good spot for him. I think because I can't imagine them taking. Let's talk about Lauri Markkanen because he's a 7-foot shooter. Literally, all he does, he does not defend very well. He does not rebound. He can't really stay in front of people. He's not a shot blocker.
Can I call him what he is?
He can shoot the ball. He's 40 plus percent from threes, 50% from the field. He's really good 7-foot 3-point shooter. Which
Lauri Markkanen, meet your dad, Peja Stojakovic.
Nah, people are comparing him to Dirk though.
See, here's my thing. I don't want to say I have a problem.
Defend Dirk.
But I have a problem whenever the draft comes up and we're always like, yeah, this guy could be the next Dirk. This guy could be the next Kobe. This guy could. These are literally all-time greats.
Darko Milicic.
Yeah. These are literally all-time greats. Isn't it a little bit of a reach when we say some of the best of all time?
Yeah, but I think for me when I make a comparison, I'm mostly just saying that this player's game reminds me of this player's game. Not saying that that guy can be the caliber of player that he can.
Right.
Like, I get in trouble a lot of times. I'm like, oh, this reminds me of this. And it's like, wait, that guy's never going to be that good. Like I say, Yogi Ferrell reminds me of Isaiah Thomas. And we're like, yes, okay, he's never going to be like 30 points a game, I don't think. But he like has some similar features of his game. You know, he plays similar. He can get to the basket. He's a really good spot-up shooter. And so Lauri Markkanen, people are saying, reminds him of Dirk. Just because he can shoot really well, but I think that's also just because he's a 7-foot white guy that can shoot.
And he's from Europe.
Ryan Anderson's probably a better comparison.
Okay. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Because Dirk did have like a little, he could drive to the basket. You know, he was pretty good positional defender. Like,
but if he is like this 3-point specialist that's literally all he could do. Isn't that Peja? Like, Peja could rebound. He couldn't play defense. He couldn't do anything else, but he could shoot threes.
No, yeah, I will definitely.
That was literally
that.
All he did.
I will accept that comparison. Wasn't it weird that Sean Darenthal, when he came on our podcast, he didn't like comparisons? It's like, what else do you do?
Yeah, what are we supposed to do?
I guess just watch these guys and do our homework and actually, like.
Yeah, that. I mean, everybody has their thing, but you gotta. We have to be able to put like a reach out there. Like we said that Lonzo Ball, people have compared him to Jason Kidd.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think the Penny Hardaway Sean Livingston thing is a little closer, but because Jason Kidd couldn't shoot. Like Lonzo can put the ball in the basket when he shoots.
Yeah.
His shot is weird.
Yeah. You see Jason Kidd's shot at first? When he was first drafted by the Mavericks?
Yeah, he didn't put it in. You know, like it didn't go in when Jason Kidd shot.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's our mock draft just from our gut reaction from the day after the lottery.
Dun, dun, dun.
We have Fultz going one to the Lake to the Celtics, Ball going two to the Lakers, Jackson to the 76ers, Fox to the Suns, Monk to the Kings, Tatum to the Magic, which is, sorry, Tatum, we dropped you a little far there. That one we're going to look back and feel bad about. Isaac going to Minnesota. You have Dennis Smith going up north.
Oh, yeah.
Going to the Knicks.
I mean, if what Nick said about Dennis is 100% true, it's literally a match made in heaven. It's a train wreck meeting a train wreck.
He's like the next Eddie Curry for them, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, really.
And then you have Frank Ntilikina going to the Mavericks at 9.
I like that.
We're good. We're good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Ntilikina is going to be a project, though. He's going to be a guy that's going to come in a lot like Thon Maker, a lot like Giannis. Yeah. Where he come in, and 3 years from now, he might be a solid starter. He's not going to be
right. I mean,
real
he's
good.
19. Like, he's mad young. He can't even drink. Like, the guy is mad young. He might be able to drink in France, but coming to America is a whole different ballgame.
We're coming to America.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. So there you go. That's our gut reaction. That's the draft lottery. The Mavericks were also in the news this week because former Maverick. Nothing easy. We're going to game 7, baby. Game 7.
Yeah, he was in the news.
Zaza Pachulia.
Zaza Pachulia. How did that front court with Zaza and Dirk work out, but the front court with Andrew Bogut and Dirk didn't work
Let's
out?
Let's be honest. There was a time period during when Zaza was with the Mavs last year where he was literally balling. The guy was playing very good basketball.
I mean, he almost made the All-Star
team. He really did. He really did.
Not by merit, though.
No.
But so Zaza Pachulia had, you know, kind of understeps Kawhi Leonard on 3, steps on his ankle. And now there's this whole thing about how he's a dirty player.
He's the worst.
Is Zaza Pachulia a dirty player?
He committed manslaughter, according to Greg Popovich.
According to Greg Popovich.
I don't think he's a dirty player because, remember, now I know Kawhi Leonard got hurt, but let's be honest here. Let's say that, remember when Kawhi got hurt the first time in the third quarter of that game? Let's say he had never came back, right?
Right.
There would have been no need. Nobody in their right mind would be like, oh, Zaza's this dirty player. Kawhi got hurt again. It was a freak, horrible play, and some people are saying it was dirty. But Kawhi was playing on an injured ankle.
So you're saying if he hadn't been pre-injured, like if he had, right. You know, like as Trump likes to say, as Trump coined the phrase, if he hadn't primed the pump, Kawhi's ankle hadn't been primed, then we wouldn't be talking about this at all.
Exactly.
If he got straight up from that. That Zaza closeout.
Right, and to me, I know people are going to say that he got up under him and whatnot, but to me, that's a basketball play. It wasn't something that I don't think was necessarily intentional. It was a freak basketball play, and he's playing on a bad ankle, which he's more prone to be a little – it's easier to roll your ankle when you've already rolled on it multiple times.
So he was just a little susceptible, and he, you know. Yeah, I can see that. But there's you know, the news cycle.
Manslaughter.
It goes round and round, and we see all these clips getting brought up. And I saw this clip where Zaza and Kawhi got tangled up, and then Zaza grabbed Kawhi's arm and kind of pulled him to the ground. And it was a dirty play. Like, he legitimately did that. And so I had questions. I was like, is he trying to get an advantage, or is he trying to hurt somebody? I think that's different. I think those things are different. I think that you can try to get an advantage, and you can try to... you know, hustle and get the, you know, and close out and try to get the 50-50 balls and things like that, but not be dirty.
Well, the other thing is you have to look at what Pop also said. I keep bringing up the manslaughter thing, but do you notice what he said? He said, go ask his teammate, David West, last year when he was on the Spurs and Zaza was on the Mavericks. He said there was some dirtiness there, and Pop brought that up. So is he a dirty player? I still, when I think of Zaza, I don't think of a dirty player, but, you know, maybe he's done some not so lovely things over the years.
So we've seen this dirty player conversation come up the last couple playoffs, right? We had the Dellavedova thing.
Ah.
We had the Kelly Olynyk thing with Kevin Love 2 years ago.
Yes.
And
now don't forget Meta World Peace and his headbutting or his elbow butting of James Harden. Remember that?
Shout out to Meta. Shout out to Meta. Meta created one of
By the way, I know Meta World Peace is dead. I have his phone number on my phone. I do.
What's his dad's name?
Rod Artest.
Oh, that was dumb. Why did I just say that? Oh, the panda father.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We should call up Ron or Chestnut.
Like, Ron. How you doing, Ron?
That's so funny. So we've seen this conversation come up a couple times the last few years. And there it is. He just proved it to me. It could just be fake, but there it is.
No, my dad, Ron Artest Jr. is friends with my dad's roommate from college, and they all hung out with each other a few times in Queens. And I've met him a couple of times. Nice guy.
In Queensbridge?
No, in Queens, in Long Island City.
Queensbridge! Ron Artest / Metal World Peace / the artist formerly known as Both had... Gave me
what was his name in China?
Panda's friend.
Yes, Panda's friend.
Gave me one of my most blissful moments in my childhood when he gave that press conference where he brought his kids up.
He said, yes.
Kobe didn't want me to shoot the ball, but I shot the ball anyway.
My favorite was
Phil
when...
Phil didn't want me to shoot the ball. Kobe didn't want me to shoot the ball.
My favorite was a few years ago when he was wearing a Cookie Monster shirt.
Yeah.
He was like, look at me. You know, I'm wearing this Cookie Monster shirt. I mean, some people may have a problem with it, but hey, I like cookies.
Who has a problem with you wearing that shirt?
Yeah, right?
Like,
nobody.
The dress code isn't really enforced anymore.
Yeah, really.
Like, David Stern's going to come out and be like, no.
You got to wear a suit.
So
where were we? How did we get on this?
The dirty player thing. We've seen dirty player thing come up all the time. Are there dirty players in the NBA? Or, like, I don't feel like there's dirty players like that anymore. Like, the eras of the Bruce Bowens, the Bill Laimbeers, the Rick Mahorns, the Bad Boys.
Well, you know, I mean...
The physicality has been taken out of the game, dirty players have kind of...
Well, the thing is, the game has changed a lot.
Yeah, you can't hand check anymore, so you can't just, like, barrel roll.
I mean, I don't necessarily say that guys back in the day were dirty. I think the game was just tougher. That was just how the game was. Oh, I know. They knocked the heck out of Michael Jordan. But that's what the culture of the league was at the time. Like, you could be that tough and that bad, and that's how the culture was. So I didn't necessarily see it as dirty. The culture in the league has changed a lot. So you have to wonder what's the definition of dirty. I remember as a kid watching the Bulls and the Jazz. Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman used to go at it, but it was kind of like it was expected. Today, that would be considered dirty. People didn't really consider it dirty back then because that was more of the culture. It's kind of like in hockey. You know, people fight in hockey because that's the culture. But we all know if somebody, you know, takes, you know, a club or it takes the I don't know. I can't talk again today. If you take the hockey stick and just literally
takes the club.
Yeah, and chuck it on somebody's head, people are going to say that's dirty, but fights are still normal. It depends. It depends on the culture of the league.
Also, you guys couldn't see it, but it looked like he was holding a bowling pin.
Yeah, I'm having, like you said, that I haven't been on the show in 2 weeks.
What did you do in New York for 2 weeks?
Yeah, my speech is just off today.
You haven't recorded a pod, the two of us, in like almost 3 weeks.
Yeah, see, you know? we're a little off our game.
We're rusty. All right,
so we're the Warriors of the first.
I'm going to read you a quote. You may have heard this, so if you have, you can stop me. But I'm going to read you this quote, and you're going to try to tell me which player it was. I've already mentioned his name, and it's about the Zaza thing. The thing is now, I've seen all this stuff going around on social media, all the things people saying, and a lot of it involves me. Well, I used to hate it when people used to call me dirty. I thought it was unfair when people just piggyback on what other people say, and I still do. That play, I've watched it. And yeah, I thought he took an extra step. There's plenty of time to stop where he did, and he continued moving in the direction of Kawhi. That seems like an intentional, and it's definitely dangerous. What was the intent? You can rewind something 5 times and convince yourself of anything. Would I say he kept moving the direction after he contested the shot? You know who... You know you have to let a player come down. He kept walking into the space. So for me... That says more about the intent. So this player is now calling Zaza Pachulia
dirty.
He's
a current player?
He's not a current player.
Is it Bruce Bowen?
It is Bruce Bowen. Bruce Bowen saying that Zaza is dirty, and he is upset that people called himself dirty. I used to hate it when people called me dirty, but I think that Zaza Pachulia step in the direction of Kawhi was a dirty and dangerous play. Bruce Bowen kicked Wally Szczerbiak in the head. And he's calling this dirty and dangerous, and he hates that people call him dirty. I can't stay. Like, what is he doing? Like, why?
Well,
just stick with your bow ties,
you know,
man.
You know, Bruce is a little older. You know, he's a. You know,
age can't be the reason why you're making a bad point.
maybe he learned over years. He's like, maybe he looked back and said, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
But he said he hates that. I used to hate it when people called me dirty.
See,
I thought it was so unfair.
He said he used to. He was younger.
I thought it was so unfair.
He was younger.
When people just piggyback on what other people say, and I still do. I still think that it's unfair is what he's saying. Bruce Bowen,
he just literally contradicted everything he once did and what he just said.
Bruce Bowen was the dirty player. Like, he was the guy that we were like, oh, he's like this.
He was a great defensive player, but he did have some tactics that literally left you wondering.
Not wondering.
It's funny because I'm...
Left Mavs fans steaming.
Yes. Yes. I'm literally trying to sugarcoat, and I usually never sugarcoat.
You don't? I'm really surprised right now that you're not getting more mad about this.
Zaza, I don't see it as dirty, but I understand if people
do. So conflicted right now.
Yeah, I don't personally wouldn't call it dirty, but if somebody makes the argument, I'm not going to necessarily disagree with them. I think it's literally up in the air.
All right. So Mark Cuban came to Zaza's defense. He retweeted an article from The Ringer, and the article from The Ringer was by Roger Sherman. It just said,
"Look at Zaza getting all this press." We're literally. Zaza hasn't
gotten on Zaza for 10 minutes, and we never would have done that when he was on the Mavericks.
Right.
And he retweeted this article that said, was the play on, the Zaza play on Kawhi Leonard, was it dirty? Was it intentional? Did he do it on purpose? And Mark Cuban retweeted it and quoted it and said, no, that's not how he plays. So Mark Cuban coming to his defense of former players. I was kind of surprised.
Well, I'll say this. Have you ever been in the locker room with Zaza?
No.
Okay. I have a few times, and...
I have with Sala, and it kind of feels like the same thing.
Yeah, that's not actually – that's a very good comparison, by the way.
Not the same player.
But. Right, right, but personality-wise. Yeah. I guess that's why I don't think he's a dirty player. I mean, he's a nice guy. That's not him. It doesn't seem like something he would do.
But you have these guys that, like, take on a different persona when they get on the court, you know? It's like the
– That's true.
You know, doesn't Beyonce have, like, Beyonce, and then when she gets on stage, she's like Sasha Fierce or something like that.
She's Queen B.
Yeah. I cannot say it like that.
Queen B.
And then when you have guys get on the court, they're like completely different players, you know? Like
that's very true.
This aggression comes out of them, blah, blah, blah. We see it like, man, holy cow, we did not see that guy. You know, like Dirk can get his aggression going, you know?
That's
like,
very
not gonna
true.
Punch anybody, but he's going to go at people. He's going to, you know, you're going to feel the emotion coming from him. And
right.
When he's off the court, he's like, you know, just a normal, chill guy.
Wes Matthews
is like, but I feel like Wes Matthews is sort of like off the court, he's like a brooding, like, you know, he's like, he like holds it inside, and then he gets on the court.
Yeah,
like,
he takes it out. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the Zaza thing. I don't know if we solved anything with that, but we're trying to figure out if
Zaza.
Talking about a former player. Maybe a future player that plays for your New York Knicks.
Oh, Lord.
Kristaps Porzingis was unhappy with the Knicks.
Okay, go ahead. I'll let you finish it.
As he should be. Yeah. He should definitely be unhappy with the Knicks. So he's unhappy with the Knicks. He skipped his exit interview. I don't know if you weren't on exit interviews with the Mavericks, but you literally just walked down and you talked to the media. You also talked to the front office and you talked to, the coach and the owner and, talked to all those guys. Basically see how your season was. You know, like, let's just, talk about this. What's the future? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I think it's a good thing in the NBA to talk about that, reestablish relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Kristaps Porzingis was so upset. He skipped his exit interview. Didn't want to talk to Phil Jackson. Do you blame him?
I'm actually going to start this take on the New York Knicks actually by being nice, which is very uncharacteristic of me.
He takes 3 weeks of vacation and comes back a different person.
I'm not going to just go straight up hardcore like I always do. But kind of like you
said, has softened you.
Yeah, really.
Too much soft serve ice cream.
No, but it's really, you can't blame him because let me start off by saying, when you and I first did this show and we first brought up the New York Knicks, I literally told you that they're just a train wreck. They're just the greatest comedy show in sports.
Yeah.
And it's literally a fact. Like this, it just whatever bizarre story can come out
the
of
fact,
that organization.
The fact that earlier in this show, we said that the Sacramento Kings were the Knicks of the West.
Yeah.
And we put Sacramento on this thing where we had to compare it to something, and we found another team to compare them to. Is saying something.
Yeah. The Knicks are, I mean, I can't blame Porzingis. I mean, this team literally just has no future, no hope. No matter what they bring in, no matter what star, it's probably still going to end in a train wreck. I mean, they're just so all over the place, from Derrick Rose leaving the team to Phil Jackson pushing Melo out to
Charles Oakley.
Charles Oakley.
Like, even their in-game operations.
Yeah, they're just all over the place. And then there's just – there comes a point where you just have to look at it and you're like, yo, like – this is ridiculous. Whether it's Porzingis leaving and not going to his exit interview, or whether, you know, Phil Jackson keeps talking about, oh, I want Melo gone, Melo gone. If I'm Melo, I know he loves New York. That's his home, whatever. But at this point, dude, I'm out.
And if you're out, and this summer, and there's been speculation, there's a lot of talk this year about how Porzingis wanted to work out with Dirk this summer.
Are you saying? There's a chance?
If you're out on the Knicks, and you don't think you're a star player. You're the budding superstar. You're the hope of all Knicks fans. You're the New York basketball Jesus. And you are this player, and the team is not treating you well. And you want a team that's going to treat a star well, especially a big man. I want to go to a team that's going to treat me well. That's going to, you know, I'm going to have security with. I'm going to be, you know, be on the same page with the ownership and all this stuff. I know that they're going to fend for me. I know they're going to stick their neck out for me.
They got my back.
They're going to have my back. They're going to do things that is going to be in my best interest.
Mark Cuban.
And you work out with Dirk Nowitzki. And Dirk Nowitzki has been the guy for the Mavericks for a long time.
Almost 20 years.
20 years next year. And as any superstar, even Kobe Bryant, even like Michael Jordan, been treated as well as Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas, in the Dallas Mavericks organization, of any star, has anybody been treated better than Dirk?
I can only think of one player.
Go for it.
Tim Duncan.
Tim
Duncan's probably the only guy.
And they've both taken less, and it's not saying that, you know, they paid him the max amount of money. They were willing to, though. They were willing to every single year. Dirk decided that he wanted to take less, and of course I'm sure that there was some back and forth about that. They wanted to make the team
better. Sure, there's always negotiations.
But anytime he took less, the team didn't spit in his face and say, like, you took less, but we're not going to get you anything. They went for stuff. They attempted stuff. They went after, they tried the Rondo thing. They got Tyson Chandler. No, they went after players. They would always gamble,
and that's always good to gamble for your superstar.
And they're trying, and it paid off. It paid off in 2011, you know. And if Kristaps Porzingis wants to go to a team that's going to treat him right, I think that what the Mavericks are doing is prime for him to come on the team. And this is why the team shouldn't have tanked all year. And it's fine that they did the last couple of weeks, the last month or so. That's fine.
When they literally were eliminated from playoff contention.
But the team gives a crap. And the team has players and pieces. If Kristaps Porzingis wants to go to a team that's going to give a crap, and it's going to give a crap about him, and that will treat him like, if I'm Kristaps Porzingis, I look at how the Mavericks treated Harrison Barnes, a new player that was a young up-and-coming star that maybe was a little more overvalued than he should have been. He came in, and the fans treated him great. He had to produce, but the fans treated him great. The ownership treated him great. He came in and was, you know, given every opportunity he needed to succeed, and he did. The Mavericks would do the exact same thing if Kristaps Porzingis decides to come to the Dallas Mavericks.
I ain't mad at it.
And that's my pitch for Kristaps Porzingis. Kristaps, if you're listening,
which we definitely know he is.
K-Porzizi, whatever his whatever his Instagram.
Which, by the way, like you mentioned, and I know this because I talked about it with a couple of my friends last week when I was in New York. He is loved there, but everyone there hates the organization.
Everyone does.
Which you can't blame them. And I feel bad for them too, because I've mentioned this before, because Knicks fans don't go to games.
It's tourists.
It's all tourists. It's one of the biggest tourist areas in America, and those are tourists who go there.
That's it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but KP would be instantly welcomed here, without a doubt.
And he would have, I mean, and not that he would get, by the time he got here, that Dirk would still be here, but he would have a mentor, because Dirk's still going to be around. He would have a mentor that could
help him. Is Dirk going to still be around?
He'll be around the organization. He won't be playing.
Well, I know that. But I'm saying, is there any potential?
Are you asking me if Dirk's going to die?
No. I've always wondered this about Dirk. When he retires, is he going to stay in Dallas?
Or is he going to do a Kobe Bryant? Kobe Bryant has literally not been back at a Staples Center all year.
True. But I was thinking, is he I guess it would. But Tim Duncan go to that.
Tim Duncan's around all the time,
right? But would Dirk go back to Germany where he is God?
I mean, he's God here. He's gonna have
a... True, but he's it's one thing to be God here in Dallas.
Yeah,
but he's literally God to the entire country in Germany. He is loved there.
But he's set for life, so he can spend half his time in both spots.
Yeah, and he does, and he's openly admit that he loves Dallas. He loves Germany. So I'm assuming with retirement he would spend a good amount of time there too.
And here's where we figure out that question. You look at the kids. You look at the family.
Oh, the boys.
Is he gonna uproot his family and move back to Germany? Is he gonna stick around here, keep them in school, keep them, you know?
I don't know.
That's how you make those decisions if you got a family like that. And I think that's how Kobe Bryant sort of made his decision. I don't know.
Because Dirk's wife is not from here either.
Where's she from?
I want to say France.
Man, the international family.
Yeah, right? You got a German-French family.
So that's our pitch to Kristaps Porzingis. Do you think that it's, I mean, not even likely, but do you think that it's even, like, possible?
Well, yeah. I think two things. I think that he's a very young player. When does he become a free agent, and when does it – I don't know.
He's Swedish, by the way.
Oh, okay. When does he become a free agent?
Oh, I'm looking it up right now.
And with the Knicks, when it comes to a trade, they're so much of a train wreck. He's literally open to go anywhere. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a possibility if he's working with Dirk as a free agent. If the Mavs are in prime position, I'm assuming he's a free agent in a couple years.
He has a team option in 2019. So he's signed for this next year as a guarantee. He has a team option the year after that, and then he's a restricted free agent in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, if he's available, I don't see why the Mavs wouldn't look at him. And I don't see why he wouldn't want to come here.
I'm not saying look at them. I'm saying if he's available, the Mavericks should do everything they can to get him.
Well, the only reason why I say wait on that, I don't disagree with what you're saying. The only reason why I just say wait, because let's see where the Mavericks are and let's see what the free agent pool is. Because you got to see, you got to look at all your options. I agree. I'm saying I don't disagree with you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just adding to the fact that, you know, in 2019, where are they going to be? Where are the Mavericks going to be? Where are other teams going to be? Obviously, the Mavericks are going to you have to look at them, but will they need him at that point? What's going to happen? I don't know. It's 2 years from now.
Will they need him? I can't wait till we'll be in a spot where the Mavericks don't need Kristaps Porzingis.
I would love to have him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I don't want him.
Man, what kind of situation would the Mavericks be in if they didn't need Kristaps Porzingis?
They're in a great, I don't know. They're in a great situation.
Like, had won the title.
They somehow got Anthony Davis. I don't know.
Anthony Davis, Kristaps Porzingis together would be.
Jesus.
Holy cow. That would be balling.
But and notice I said Jesus, like Kanye. I don't know why.
You don't have the answers.
Yeah, not, I do. I have the answers. Way, go ahead.
There you go. So that's the Kristaps Porzingis thing, and I think that it's possible. It's probably a 5% chance. You know, like it's probably just like really low. But everything's open for the Knicks. You know,
that is very true.
And I could see them, if they even move like an inch on him, I hope the Mavericks just, yeah, I hope they're doing their homework on that. And I hope they take advantage of that front office.
They have a lot of time. It's very early.
Because and Phil Jackson might be in a spot where he wants to do a fire sale. You know,
he may not even be there in 2019. He may be long gone.
Yeah, his contract's still there. His contract's still going to be on the books. But yeah, we don't know.
We'll have to wait and see.
But I definitely think it's a thing. I think
it's possible,
it's
yeah. That, I would that, say it's possible.
The Mavs fans should be looking for and definitely hoping for. And if you pray to basketball gods, you pray for that because that would be incredible.
Dear basketball gods, we come before you today to...
Dear sweet 11-inch, 12-pound basketball gods.
We come to you about the New York Knicks once again.
All right, the last thing I want to get to
There's one last thing I want to... Okay, there's one last thing I want to bring in real quick.
With that?
Just something totally separate.
Okay.
It involves you and it involves Mike DuPont a couple weeks ago.
Okay, oh yeah, go for it.
You guys brought up Cedric Ceballos.
Yeah, that he was a Maverick, and I had no idea Cedric Ceballos was a Maverick.
When Cedric Ceballos was a Maverick when I was a kid, he was at the Half Price Bookstore on Northwest Highway in Dallas.
Yes.
And my sister loved books, and I hated books growing up.
Yeah, no, who loves
books? Yeah, and he was doing one of those. Remember the NBA's Read to Achieve?
They still do that.
Yeah, he was doing one of those, and there was a bunch of kids there,
yeah.
And I got... I forgot exactly what we did, but they answered some questions about the book he read or whatever, and I won tickets to a Mavericks Suns game.
And I was that the game happy. You went to at a reunion?
No, that was another game. But yeah, it was a reunion. It was the Mavericks and Suns, and I was a very happy kid.
That's awesome.
That was my Cedric Sabella story.
See, if I had grown up in an area that had a basketball team, I would have loved that so much more.
What was the closest team? The Pacers?
Pacers. I grew up in Cincinnati.
And do you have Pacers any love like for the Pacers?
No. The Pacers were like an hour and a half away. I've been at like two Pacers games in my life.
Was it during the Rick Smith, Reggie Miller years?
It was. Jermaine O'Neal and
Ron
Artest.
Good times.
Hey, full circle, Ron Artest right. again.
Right. Good old Ron.
All right. The last we have 5 minutes left. The last thing I want to bring up is sort of a small thing, but the Nerlens Noel free agent situation is something we'll talk about a lot. We'll go into depth about. We'll talk about the numbers, but everyone's worried that he's going to get this max deal where he's going to price himself out of the Mavericks, and the Mavericks won't want to pay $22 million for Nerlens Noel. Which, would you pay $22 million for Nerlens Noel?
It depends. Because if I'm the Mavericks, I have to look at it like this. I know Nerlens is going to want his money, and he has every right to.
Does he?
Absolutely.
Not a max contract. What has he done for a max contract?
Listen, I agree there, but as a player, you're going to look to try to get as much money as you can. Look at Chandler Parsons. You when you're a player in the league and you look at other guys at your position and you could potentially be better than them, and some of them are.
Yeah.
You have to look out for yourself financially. And you have an opportunity to do that. You may not ever get that chance again. So you have to do it while you can.
Of course. And Nerlens also definitely look for the most money. But if you're the Mavericks, do you want to pay him that much money? And I don't want to pay him that much money.
I don't want to, but it's like if I feel they bought him here for a reason, so he's a part of their future plans.
Yeah.
If somebody else kind of maxes him out, I might have to match it. I might have to do a gamble on a 22-year-old center who could potentially be very good.
Yeah. It could potentially be what small ball centers and what, you know, centers are going to. I mean, we see Clint Capella for the Rockets, and he's kind of like that. You
know?
Like he could definitely see him fitting into that role.
If Nerlens goes to another team and he ends up being really good, you know, at age 24, 25, 26, the Mavericks are going to be like, what the heck were we doing?
Yeah. Or he could be really bad. You never know. He could be like one of those players that were just like, I have no idea. But here's the thing that I want to bring up with Nerlens Noel is in the Wizards-Celtics Game 7, there was a couple minutes where they played Jason Smith, and Jason Smith was negative 13 in 3 minutes. They played him and Jan Mahimny. Shout out to former Mav, Jan Mahimny.
Former Mav.
And Jan Mahimny got a big contract this summer. He got paid $16 million a year, and he was unplayable in the playoffs. Could not play. They could not put him on the floor and get a positive result. Yeesh. He's making $16 million a year. I think teams...
Timothy Mozgov makes $16 million a year, and he's terrible.
I think teams look at that, and I think teams get wary of that and say, well, these bigs are getting this money, and I think a lot of teams paid a lot of bigs big money this past summer and the summer before. You have who you just mentioned, Mozgov. You have Jan Mahimny. You have guys like that got paid a bunch of money, and I don't think a ton of teams need bigs. And they're looking at these Jan Mahimny type contracts, and they're like, "Do I want to invest that much?" And it's not just the money; it's the percentage of the cap. I'm putting this much of a percentage of my team, of my available assets and resources, into a big guy like that. Is that worth it? And I think the teams are looking at it less and less now. And so I think that the market for Nerlens Noel is going down. And I think it's partially because of that Jan Mahimny game. And so if Yami's done anything good for the Mavericks, it could be that.
Really? We'll have to wait and see. We'll
so
find
there
out.
You go. Everybody on Dash Radio, thanks so much for listening
we love
to
ya.
Us. This is the Mavs Fanatic Podcast. I'm Nick Engsten.
I'm Taman Turner.
You can follow me at Nick Van Exit. You can follow Taman Turner at
TamanT717.
TamanT717.
I'm back.
Thanks so much for joining us.
See you later.
And remember,
I'm right. He's wrong. That's the end of the story.
Boom.